Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Omar Miranda has a master's degree in guidance and counseling. He's worked extensively at private and public schools, more than 20 years' experience working with youth and their families. He's the founder of Abundant Life Ministries. Now, that's a private Christian counseling practice in Plainville, Georgia. Omar's ministry specializes in sex and pornography addiction, pastoral consultation, and also counseling with children, youth, and family issues. He's written an e-book called Man, You Got Issues. Omar, welcome to LifeQuest.
Thanks, Blaine. I'm excited to be here.
It sounds to me as if you have so much experience. You've listened to a lot of families, a lot of situations, a lot of young people. I've got to ask you, do you ever hear anything new, or kids or families who think their problem is unique, you've heard it all before?
You know, I want to say, like Solomon said in the Old Testament biblical book of Ecclesiastes, there really is nothing new under the sun, especially when it comes to issues of teenagers and their families. It just seems that sometimes the faces change and the things that they may be getting into may change, but you know, the issues always kind of remain the same. You know, just those the old issues of teenagers who think they know better than older folks.
And, oh yeah.
Want to get some life decisions under their belt and end up making a decision that really kind of ends up injuring them with the consequences. And, and so really nothing, there really isn't anything new. I've been doing this for a long time, and it just seems like some of the issues are cyclical, I find, with the different ages of children.
You call your book Man, You Got Issues, and you've put it out as an e-book online. It can be downloaded, that sort of thing. Why did you decide to go that direction?
Well, I decided to go the direction of an ebook. I've actually got it in paper or in a print version as well. But I really decided to go the ebook version for two reasons. Number one, it's cheaper. Number two, more of the youth and young adults are really into reading ebooks. Things like those, like the Nooks and
Kindle
and those types of things that they can carry with them. So they're into portability. And I wanted to really market it and get it out to the kids. That's who it was written for. It was written for preteens and teens and young adults. But I'm finding it that a lot of adults and parents and really teachers are really really kind of connecting with a lot of the issues that I am dealing with.
You've dealt with these issues for many years. Why are you putting this out now?
Well, you know, interesting story, Dwight. Several years ago, I felt the Lord really calling me to write these things down for my own children.
Okay.
I didn't want my own children to have to go through a lot of the same bad decisions and negative consequences that I dealt with. And honestly speaking, I'm still dealing with some of the consequences of those decisions that I've made when I was a teenager and a young adult. And I just didn't want them to go through it. And so as I began studying and writing and asking God to kind of bring to my mind the different things, I realized very quickly that I was writing about, first and foremost, I was writing about issues related to having just a better relationship with God, a more real and honest and intimate relationship with God. And then secondly, I began finding myself writing about a lot of the issues that a lot of teens are dealing with now. I dealt with when I was younger. And so it's about 2 years ago, I had a conversation and interaction with the editor at Insight Magazine. It morphed more into something for teens in general, as opposed to just for my children, because I realized if my children were dealing with it, if I was dealing with it, then probably a lot more teens would be dealing with it as well. And so I began to be a columnist for Insight Magazine, and then things that I had written kind of morphed into columns for Insight Magazine, and then I also included several essays and some rants and raves just about different issues that I saw that were happening in the culture. And presto.
Yeah, and we've got it.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with people who come to you in need of counseling, whether it's families or teens, it seems to me mostly are already in the middle of a situation. You're hoping that this book precludes some of the problems.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I find out. People typically don't go to a doctor unless they're in pain.
Yeah.
And the same, you know, maxim holds true in counseling. People will typically not come to a counselor unless they're in the midst of a crisis, or they foresee one coming up ahead, or they just got out of one and realized that they need some more assistance. And so the reason why I wrote it was really to try to be proactive and try to keep the kids just from going through a lot of things that I went through. Like I said before, my impetus really was, after reading the book of the Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes, God just kind of spoke to me and said, you got such a blessing out of reading this book. Why don't you write something like this for your own kids? And that's where this came out of. I think if more adults wrote down and were honest about their own failings and their own shortcomings related to their relationship with God and just the bad choices that they've made and the consequences that they've made, I would think we would have a different relationship with our kids and a different relationship with teenagers in general, because I know when I was a teenager, and I find this to kind of be widespread, not just in the church, but out of the church as well, a lot of teenagers don't want to talk to adults because they feel that adults aren't really real with them. They think that they're always right, they've never made a mistake. And teenagers, you know, feel very insulated and isolated, and so they get to feeling like they can't really interact with adults, and so they end up spilling their guts on chat rooms and talking to total strangers and getting advice from, you know, jailhouse lawyers.
Yeah.
You know, a 12 or 13-year-old doesn't know anything more about sex than another 12 or 13-year-old does, as opposed to reading, you know, talking to an older folk.
Sure. Omar, I remember a number of years ago in a church in the West Coast I was pastoring, and a teenager came to me, and she opened up and said, you know, I don't know how I can compete. My dad doesn't understand because, you know, he didn't make the kind of mistakes I find myself in, and he just had it easy. And I happen to know her dad was a rascal when he was her age and in high school. And I went to the father and I said, it's time to talk about you growing up so that you'll have some point of identification.
Dwight, you don't have to give the gory details.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't actually have to physically gone through a lot of these things.
Right.
I've never been pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I know just by, you know, just doing life with my wife, I know how painful it is.
Yeah.
But the point is, I'm willing to go there, and it's not easy. I don't enjoy talking about my history of sex and pornography addiction. I don't enjoy talking about how angry I was and how violent I was when I was younger. But if me sharing some of that information and being open and honest about my history and my past will keep a young person from going down that same road, I will do it.
In part two of your book called Got Issues, chapter two, you talk about it's all about me and I'm miserable, which is kind of a cry of teenagers. And it's true. I have a 13-year-old at home, and I'm teaching some classes to 7th and 8th graders. And everything's about them, isn't it? And they're not the happiest people in the world all the time.
They're really, really not. I just find that teenagers typically have this outlook that says, even when it's not really happening, that everything is about them and everybody is watching them. And that's not always the case, but that's exactly how they feel. And, you know, perception is reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can tell them, look, this isn't about you, and they won't believe it. I have seen teenagers come into my office bawling. I thought maybe they had gotten news that somebody had died or someone had gotten divorced, but they're really upset because they have a stain on their shirt. And they think that everybody in the world can see it. When in actuality, if my attention hadn't been drawn to it, I wouldn't have been able to see it. But they are so upset about it and so flabbergasted, they can't get their, you know, it ruins their whole day. And some of that is natural, Dwight. Actually, a child begins to grow and change, and they begin to do something that psychologists and counselors call individuate, which basically means they begin to separate. They begin to become their own individual. They begin to go from a very simple way of thinking to a more serious way of thinking, where not only do they have to start making some real decisions about their goals and their aspirations in life, but their faith. And all of a sudden, the faith becomes very real to them.
Yes.
And they begin asking questions like, how come mom and dad say this, but don't do it?
Right.
a teenager is normally supposed to be asking those questions because they are making their faith theirs. Not necessarily are they being disrespectful. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we as adults take it as disrespect, but it's really not. They're just trying to understand their world and make sense of it all. So we have to give them some leeway and really let kids just recognize that they're allowed to ask questions and grow and change, and we don't need to jump all over them every single time. We may not understand specifically where they're coming from, but we just need to give them some space.
If you've just tuned in, I'm talking with Omar Miranda. He's a counselor, especially for youth. He has written a book called Man, You Got Issues. We'll have more in just a moment.
Joining us today on LifeQuest, here is host Dwight Lanoff.
You talk about some issues that many may not be realizing is more common than at least it seems in time past. I've come across kids, Omar, who are into this business of, it could be called self-mutilation. It's like cutting and things like that. We didn't seem to hear about it in years past, but I'm seeing it. I'm hearing about it much more.
Right. Well, and like I said before, you know, like Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. This issue of cutting is fairly new. It really began in the mid to late 80s. I remember when I was in school, people would take erasers, and we used to call them sissy tests. We would take, me and my guy friends would take erasers, and we would kind of, you know, erase on each other's skin to see how hard we could, you know, how much we could take, you know.
Sure.
I remember when my brother was in school, you know, people, they would punch each other in the arm until they were black and blue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so much, it's not a rite of passage, but I would say that the issue of anxiety, the issue of insignificance, that rears its ugly head and makes itself known. The fruit of that would be the cutting, the self-mutilation.
Yeah.
Every teenager, and I would say everybody, has a level of anxiety, of mm-hmm. low self-esteem, where, you know, we measure ourselves against somebody else. But the beauty of being a Christian is that I no longer have to do that because I measure my self-esteem to the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I realize that, I don't have to worry about what John, Dick, and Harry do.
Right.
I can say, you know what, if that's what they want to do, then that's fine. But I am a child of the King. And so I try to let teens know that, hey, if you're cutting yourself, there's a couple of things that are really bad. Number one, cutting is really bad because it opens your skin up to infections. Number
mm-hmm.
two, you're going to leave scars all over your body. And number three, you actually, it can become a bad habit to where when you get anxious, when you get stressed, the first thing you want to do is cut to relieve the stress, as opposed to do those other things, exercise, you know, counseling, reading your Bible, praying, going to a trusted adult and speaking to that person. So it really can become addictive on not only a physiological level, but also just a behavioral level. That's just what they do consistently.
Are you finding some of these issues, premarital sex, the addictions you talked about, especially with the advent of the internet and the availability of pornography, are you finding that even amongst young people who have grown up and are participating in a Christian environment and family and church?
I actually am. In fact, in some cases, I'm finding it to be more prevalent
mm-hmm.
than in non-parochial or non-Christian schools.
Okay.
Because there is such a veneer of spirituality
mm-hmm.
that is kind of put over a situation where we actually impede our children and our teens from actually talking openly and honestly about the issues that are going on.
So they're not getting the help they could.
No, they're not. And so what we're doing is we're squashing and we're stifling them. And so they feel trapped. They feel frustrated. And so they act out in any way that they can. You know, if you have a child who hasn't received a strong a female, for instance, who hasn't received a strong parental role model, mm-hmm. especially a male role model, who then tries to talk to other people and tries to kind of connect with folks in the church, especially males, older males, in an appropriate fashion, but those older males don't respond, or, you know, people are afraid nowadays of, you know, people abusing and molesting children, and well, they should be. That's understandable. Mm-hmm. But the church doesn't do what it's supposed to do and kind of come around, you know, that child. In another couple of years, that child is going to be looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yes.
And people will look for somebody who will make them feel important, mm-hmm. loved, significant, and especially wayward girls mm-hmm. will, if they don't connect with fathers or strong adult male figures that give them appropriate love, 9 times out of 10, they will make choices and decisions. They may not get pregnant, but mm-hmm. they may get involved in some premarital sex. They may get involved in some other promiscuous sexual behavior. It may not even be sexual behavior. It could be drugs. They will do anything to receive that love and that attention, that significance, and that belonging from whoever they're looking for.
Have you found that you get some pushback from some Christians who say we shouldn't talk about some of these things with young people because that'll just give them ideas?
Yes, I do. I tell them two things. Number one, if God addresses it, we should be addressing it.
Uh-huh.
And number two, the research shows that the opposite is actually true. If we do not speak about these things, our kids will act out. If we speak about these things, address these things, even if we get it wrong. If I try to talk to a teenager about sex and I flub it up and I trip over myself and I'm nervous and I'm anxious, that teenager will still respect me more than me shutting her down if she asks a question, because I'm at least attempting to go there with that person. And I send a powerful message. I am saved to that teenager.
Yes.
And I tell my children, my daughter is 10. She is a preteen. She is entering that terrifying swinging bridge of the chasm between childhood and adulthood. You know, she told me the other day, she said, "Daddy, I'm a tween. Don't talk to me like I'm a child."
Uh-huh.
And I said, "Well, you know what, Isabella? I'm glad that you are coming into your own, but you still remember I'm still your father, so you need to be careful about how you speak to me."
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they have this sense of empowerment, and that's wonderful. That's the way God made it to be. But if I don't do what I'm supposed to do with her and I don't talk with her, and if I freak out every time she asks me a question about something, she's going to find out really quickly, "Well, Daddy's not safe to talk to. I can't talk with him." And so I always let her know every day, if there's anything that you need to talk to me about, I mean anything at all, you talk to me about it. I'm not going to freak out. Even if I don't have the answer, I'll find you the answer, or we'll find you somebody who can talk with you about that.
Omar, your book is very complete, and you're relating and in a way that young people can hear and are used to hearing about things. But there are subjects that are a wide variety of them: divorcing parents, homosexuality, abortion, drugs, you name it. You're covering it because that's what you're seeing in young people, aren't you?
That's what I'm seeing in young people, not just in public schools, not just in the community, but I'm also seeing it in church schools. I'm seeing it in private schools.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing it everywhere. These are issues that permeate our culture. We live in a culture where 41% of children born are born to unwed parents.
Yes.
41% of the births mm-hmm. in the United States are that's almost half. I mean, so we have to understand as a church that we need to step up our game, because the devil is seeking to destroy families, and he knows that if he can destroy that core of mm-hmm. that family, then that core represents everything else to the community. So we have to do what we're supposed to do and step up and actually provide, you know, not just pay taxes for social services, but mm-hmm. the biblical model is the church becomes a social service.
The book is called Man, You Got Issues. It's by Omar Miranda. Omar, where can our listeners get a hold of your book in whatever form?
They can get a hold of the book in paper, printed form, or in the ebook form at lulu.com. And hopefully in about 6 to 8 weeks, it will be available worldwide, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. But they can purchase it right now at lulu.com. They can go online and actually download the book.
This is a good book, folks. It's something that I have read that I would recommend to you. Omar, thank you for being with us. I hope we can talk to you again.
You're welcome, Dwight. It's my great pleasure. You have a blessed day.
This program provides a variety of interviews with Christian book authors on many diverse subjects. Well, if you read a book recently that you think others would find helpful, or if you've heard of a new book that you'd like to know more about, send me an email with your request. The email address is lifequest@lifetalk.net. And you can hear past programs online at www.lifetalk.net/lifequest. That's www.lifetalk.net/lifequest. Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net or write to LifeQuest at P.O. Box 33082, Knoxville, Tennessee 37930.